and that is O Sons and Daughters of the King, which we are going to be taking a look at on this March the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm already buying my Christmas presents. How about you, Pastor Smith?
Hi, Tom. A blessed Eastertide to you. He is risen.
Are you buying your Christmas presents yet?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm just recovering from the busy Holy Week.
Oh, did you have to preach and all? Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Yeah, those are. Do you ever use seminarians to help out with those?
Usually the seminarians are going back home for Easter. That's usually happens. Once in a while, I usually use a seminary student Good Friday. But not to preach, just to take part in the service. But a lot of times the seminary students like to go home for Easter, and I don't blame them. You know, this may be the last chance they get to spend Easter with their families back home.
Well, it depends if they're just first year.
Yeah.
And then second year they can go back. Fourth year they can go back. Although more and more of them are actually living in St. Louis. So they don't really go home too much.
That's true, too. So did you have a nice Easter?
Oh, yes.
Did you preach anywhere?
Oh, yes. My wife really needed to hear it. So, O Sons and Daughters of the King. Who wrote this?
It's a little, let's see, the text is by, is it Jean or John?
Jean.
Jean Tisserand?
Right.
Sounds French.
It is, because the second, we have it two times in our hymnal. And the second time, if you take a look, the tune is French from the 15th century.
How about that? It's that old.
But I like the triple hallelujahs.
You do?
Yes. Which tune do you like?
Well, that's the one I'm familiar with. I'm not sure how that second one goes. I have to check the melody on that.
Although it begins with triple hallelujahs. But in the promo, I was talking about how Lutheran hymnody a lot of times is like a sermon.
Oh, this is. Boy, this has the whole Easter story on it from the first dawn of Easter through Doubting Thomas and beyond.
Yeah, the guy I was named after.
Right.
Boy, my parents must have known what I was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They had their doubts.
Yes. It not only has the history, but it also does the long gospel, I said. So we want to look at that. Why don't we begin with the first stanza?
O sons and daughters of the King, whom heavenly hosts in glory sing, today the grave has lost its sting. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Okay, what's the sting of the grave?
The sting of death is sin.
Yes.
And of course, the power of sin is the law.
Which is the sting. I always make a distinction between most religions think that the sting of the law is like a mosquito bite. They just shoo off the mosquito and that's it. Where in reality, it's actually like a scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
And
how so, Tom? Explain that.
Yes, because a mosquito bite just maybe causes a little problem at the very location. But a scorpion or a snake bite, the venom goes through the blood and can put you to death.
Right.
In fact, we used to put out a series of Bible studies on, it was really slides and tape recording from the World Home Bible League. And the pastor was talking to two young people. And that's what he said. Sin is like a serpent bite. And then it showed a body, and the whole body was getting corrupted by the the sting of the snake or the scorpion. So that's really what it's saying here. Today the grave has lost its sting. So it talks about Easter, but immediately gives the benefit. See, that's what I mean from a law gospel point of view. So many sermons these days, I heard one not long ago, and basically it was just a repeat of the Easter history. Yeah, and that was it.
You mean the story, the Easter right. story, and that was about it, huh?
That was about it. Hmm. There was no application to the people sitting in the pew. And that's why it's really important that Lutherans, you know, make sure they continue as they do to bring the application and not just the history. Let me read stanza two. That Easter morn at break of day, the faithful women went their way to seek the tomb where Jesus lay. And then the three hallelujahs. So Easter morning at break of day, the faithful women went their way. Why were they looking for Jesus?
Well, they were going to complete the job that they were unable to do Friday evening.
Yes.
As with the onset of Passover. And they did a rush job. They washed the body and they just did what they could do, and then they wanted to come back.
Yeah, I'm not even sure the women did that. Wasn't that Joseph of Arimathea?
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But the women, yeah, you're right. The women followed along and they saw where he was laid to rest.
Because what were they worried about when they were going to the grave? As to who
who's gonna roll the stone away?
Yes.
Because it's such a huge stone.
Yeah, it was...
They just hadn't thought of that.
No.
Isn't it funny? It's just like us, you know, we think, oh, how are we going to get in the church? You know, who's got a key? You know, yeah. That kind of thing, you know. You can see that happening. They just didn't think that.
Or you can be fortunate where, like a church or somebody broken in so the door was already open. Okay. Stanza three.
All right. An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now, that was a really important point I heard in a sermon recently. Is it really hits you at the transfiguration. Because what does God the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he adds, listen.
Listen to him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is really important. Because these angels also say, he told you that he would be rising from the dead in 3 days. And then there's so much that's not in this hymn, but what does the angel ask them? Why do you seek
the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen.
Yes.
Come see the place where they laid him.
And it even says, he told you so. Which is really important for us, that all we do in sermons and Bible studies is repeat back to the people what God has already said in this Bible. And every time we veer away from the Bible, that means we're either adding to or subtracting from the Bible. And guess what? That's not going to work.
No.
No. All right. I'll read four. That night the apostles met in fear. Among them came their master dear and said, my peace be with you here. So...
Yeah, the first thing he says is,
yes,
peace be with you. You know, that was important.
What peace?
They were not only afraid of...
Jews.
Of the Jews, you know, coming and arresting them. They were afraid because they had left him. They had deserted him at a time when he, you know, could have really benefited from their support. But they ran and hid.
Have you ever seen the play The Monkey's Paw?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I think you've told me about it.
Yeah. It was a paw.
The monkey's paw.
You could have three wishes. And the first wish the parents asked for was $1 million. They got a knock on the door. Their son had been killed in a car accident. And it was $1 million policy.
Oh, boy.
Then.
Be careful what you wish for.
They had the funeral. And then they remember they had two more wishes. So they asked that he come back to life. And the one I saw was a half-hour item, but all you could hear was the clomping. And he was so badly
mangled
that they couldn't even have an open casket.
Oh.
And they suddenly realized he was coming back that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what their third wish was?
That he would be fully restored, I imagine.
No, that he'd go back to the grave.
Is that right?
Yes. And can you imagine that you fled from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you denied him 3 times, only John was even at the crucifixion, and you're cowering in fear, and all of a sudden you've heard from the women he's risen, And here comes the Messiah. I think of the monkey's paw. No wonder they were scared. And instead, he appears in the upper room and says, peace be with
you. Peace be with you, yes.
What is that peace?
The peace that surpasses all understanding that we talk about.
Right.
The peace that comes with the reconciliation that he says, my God and your God, my Father and your Father, you are now reconciled to him.
It's not a peace here on earth where everything's going to go fine.
Right. Well, because all the apostles would, most of them would finally be martyred.
Except for John. At least from tradition.
But they'd have the peace which surpasses understanding.
Every religion in the world still doesn't understand that. Because every religion in the world attempts to placate or appease what they consider still to be a God angry with them.
Yeah, Christ is already, he's already reconciled us.
That's right. In fact, no, he hasn't reconciled us.
To God.
He's actually reconciled God to us.
Right.
And the task of the church is to get people to be reconciled to God. See, in every other religion, the problem is God. He won't reconcile with me, so I got to do things in order to get him be nice to me, love me, and finally save me. But in Christianity, according to Corinthians, we are speaking a word of reconciliation that has already occurred.
It's already been accomplished.
From God the Father to us. And therefore, our task is to be reconciled to God. And the way that happens is they hear the word of God, and then the Holy Spirit uses that to create faith. And that's how a person becomes reconciled to God, through faith. Because what you believe is really quite ridiculous. I mean, science today still does not believe that people can rise from the dead.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's just, but through faith.
How little they know, right? Yeah,
how little they know, because they bind themselves to their experience.
Right.
Luther talked about that in The Theologian of Glory. He only knows about God from what he experiences, whereas we know about God from what we read.
Yeah. What's that passage? The foolishness of God is wiser than
man.
Oh,
yes. That's good. That's the 1 Corinthians passage. And then on Good Friday, I preached about Job. And the first part, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
What he says is, how I wish that this could be written down in a book.
Yes.
And also that it be written in with a leaden item. You know, that it's a thing that you would actually cut a stone.
Right. To write for the ages,
yes.
In other words.
Yes. That will last forever. Well, guess what? It's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes.
And we sing it today.
Yes.
We sang that hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. We sang it during the distribution of the Lord's Supper. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, 8 verses. Yeah, where we were at, we sang 5, and then the ending was 3. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to talk about myself, so would you read verse 5?
Okay, verse 5. When Thomas first the tidings heard that they had seen the risen Lord, he doubted the disciples' word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's just like the disciples themselves doubted the words of the women. They thought it wasn't an idle tale, you know. Didn't believe them.
In that day, women weren't even permitted to, you know, witness in court.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran as fast as they could. And when they entered into the tomb, it's interesting, it says, and I think it was John, and he believed.
Right.
But all he believed was the history part, that the tomb was empty, and because of the way the clothes was folded, that Jesus had left.
Uh-huh.
But there was still great fear in him. You know, I think that...
What was it about the way the clothes were folded? You know, some people think that they were wrapped up and that the body obviously left without unwrapping the clothes. That he just, I mean, some people.
Yeah,
I think that's
true about the item they wrapped him in. But it was the head covering that was folded.
The head covering was folded to a separate place by itself.
Right, yes. And so it was as though he had like with osmosis, just left.
Like a cocoon.
Yeah.
A cocoon was left.
And it's also wrong to say that's why the angels had to roll away the stone so he could get out.
Right. Yeah, he was, the tomb was already empty.
Yes, so then why did they roll away the stone?
To show that it was empty.
Yes, exactly, yes.
And the upper room, the room where the disciples were, it makes the point, while the doors were locked, he came and stood in their midst.
Yes. Yeah, I was listening to a sermon recently about Easter, and this is a different one. And I was just counting in my mind how many things were said that only faith could perceive. It was just one after the other. Particularly that our sins are forgiven. There's just no evidence for that at all, except God's word.
Right.
And I often will say, put your hand up, you know, at a seminar, if you are a righteous, sinless saint. And nobody puts their hand up. And I say, I thought you guys were Lutherans. Because everyone thinks from our point of view, not from God's point of view. It's really different. So, just kind of interesting. Question out. By the way, what did you preach on Easter? What was your main theme?
The question, you know, who is going to remove the stone?
Oh, really?
Away? Right. And its answer.
Yes. Yes, that even before they finish questioning, it's already done.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and so...
Before you call, I will answer.
How did you apply it to the people in the pew then?
Well, what is the stone that is covering you? What is the stone that's entombing you? You know, what is your problem today?
Yeah,
what is your challenge
today? Oh, that's good.
Today?
That's good, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that God promises there will be no temptation, so there's no stone that he cannot remove.
That's right. The answer is always
that's
in
good.
Christ.
That's good. All righty. If you'll go ahead and, well, it's my turn. My pierced side, O Thomas, see, and look upon my hands, my feet, not faithless, but believing be. Wow. So, this is somewhat interesting, because I know people who will say, guess what, that when we get to heaven, we'll still have our damaged body, like Jesus did. How do you answer that?
Well, that's the question. We think of him, those wounds, as being glorified. You know, he'll still have his piercings in his hands or his wrists,
right,
and his feet and his side.
Well, why won't we?
Because our bodies will be glorified. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot we don't know about what our glorified bodies will be like. Will they be, will you be short, tall, rotund, like yourself? Or
Mark's looking
or
in
slim.
The mirror. Ever since his shopping center closed, he hasn't done any running. The question I have, what if you die when you were a baby?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, some theologians indicate that probably the age of Adam and Eve, teenagers, when they were created, that's what we'll all be like at that point. But who knows?
In our prime.
Yeah, in our prime.
Let's hope so, huh?
Well, I don't care.
As long as you can eat, right?
As long as I can. As long as I have
all
mouth.
The White Castles you want, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, last week at the Emmanuel Bible study, they gave me 16 White Castles. They were frozen. And then the pastor said, well, we got a microwave here. And I said, no, these got to thaw for 4 hours before you eat them. Which is not true, but I wasn't going to give them away. Yeah. So, only believe. So, verse 7.
No longer Thomas then denied. He saw the feet, the hands, the side. You are my Lord and God, he cried. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now, he needed to see this, and because you just can't trust the word of the apostles, and that's kind of good. You always need to go back to the original or the origin, which for us isn't Jesus, but the Bible.
Right.
So if the Bible says it, that settles it.
That's right.
In fact, verse 8 kind of says that. How blessed are they who have not seen, and yet whose faith has constant been, for they eternal life shall win. And what is that statement Jesus made? Blessed are those who have
not seen and yet believe.
Yes, yes. So we don't live by sight.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
We walk by faith. And faith is trusting in the words of God as found in the Bible.
Just like that centurion trusted. He says, you don't have to come to my house, Lord.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
And just say the word. I know it'll be done.
Yes. And doesn't Jesus say, I haven't seen such faith in
all
of
Israel like this centurion?
Yes. It's difficult. I'm seeing shut-ins, and you are too, that they're maybe near death, their families are gone, and this sort of thing. And just yesterday, I communed one, and she was so happy to have the Lord's Supper.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. They really do, you know. I mean,
it's a piece of bread and a sip of wine. Why does that comfort anyone? Because of the promises attached
to
it.
Exactly.
And that's why. Do you also always have a little Bible study with each shut-in when you visit them at their home?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. I especially the prayer. I really,
really
have a long prayer with them. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I usually do it. It's probably the reading I did on Monday. I try and, because they're shut-ins, so they're not going to be at church.
Yeah, I always take the leaflet from the previous Sunday service.
And would you read the last stanza?
On this most holy day of days, be laud and jubilee and praise. To God your hearts and voices raise. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
This is the really good news that causes us to have our voices raised and give him praise, because he alone, that is God, the Holy Trinity, particularly the Son, is the reason for our salvation. There is no other reason. Would you ever do a sermon and never mention the word Jesus?
Oh, I can't imagine that.
No, I can't either. Because the whole scripture is about Jesus.
That's right.
He himself said that.
Yes.
It just...
You search, you know, he said to the Pharisees, yeah. You search the scriptures thinking you find in them eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And you look to the law to find your eternal life,
right.
And I'm the gospel. And it's such a shame. But that's why we can be confident, and I'm sure you've had many examples in your ministry where speaking the word of God made a big difference. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where people came to faith that hadn't been in faith.
Right.
Started coming to church, etc. Now that Easter is over, give us the schedule of your services.
Well, of course, you know, we have Lifelight Bible Study that starts up again, and that starts Thursday at 10:30. We're continuing to study the Gospel of Mark. So that's every Thursday. And then, of course, we'll have Saturday service again at 5 p.m.
Okay.
And then Sunday service at 9 a.m. So
good.
Love to have you if you want to visit us this blessed Easter time.
No, I don't.
Yes.
Oh,
even
you were talking to me.
Even you're welcome. Yes.
Even I'm welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Again, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
Yeah, I'm out of town again preaching, but looking forward to that. I'll give more information about that. Right now, I'm getting ready to go to Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet. And what we're doing, we're going through the words from the cross. And this one's going to be, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we're also going to be doing it Thursday night at Trinity Orchard Farm at 7 o'clock.
Are you going to use Charlemagne's words? You know, remember Charlemagne had such a wonderful... Martin Charlemagne had such a wonderful
rendition. Yeah, he had insights in there.
Yes.
I took the course. It was 10 weeks. So it's hard to get all that in an hour.
Yeah. But those are great words.
We have a lot of fun. And so you don't know what you're preaching on this Sunday yet?
No.
Yeah.
No. I took yesterday off.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, why was that?
Oh, I don't know. It just felt like I needed the rest and our office was closed.
Oh, well, I guess that's a good reason. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Pastor Mark Smith, for being with us. Next Tuesday, we'll continue this. And looking forward to seeing any of you at Emmanuel. We actually get non-members of Emmanuel there. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com.